Welcome to episode 12 of the Variable Podcast. This is your host, John Bregel, and this week we have the opportunity to hear from director Diego Contreras on the topic of when to push and when to let go. This topic came up as a result of previous conversations I had had with Diego and was inspired largely by my own curiosity surrounding how Diego manages to achieve such a heightened vision in his commercial work while maintaining his integrity within his working relationships. Since meeting Diego back in 2014, he's always stood out to me as someone who lives true to his values, so hearing about how he manages this balance of pushing and pulling was very meaningful for me personally. This topic was also really insightful for me because when I was directing ads from about 2011 to 2019, one of the biggest reasons it was a constant struggle for me was because I often suffered from what I call nice guy syndrome, or people-pleasing, towards the agency and the client. That always had a way of diluting the end result and often left me feeling empty, creatively, and resentful. This is a topic that Diego and I dive into a bit later in the podcast, and in my opinion, is the heart of the conversation. In other words, how do we maintain our personal values and creative integrity while being kind, collaborative, and creating incredible work that we are proud of? There's certainly no easy answer to this question, but it's one that Diego is clearly navigating in the front lines of some really high-end work. The last thing I'll mention here in the intro is that this podcast episode was recorded live in the Variable community, so members can have a chance to ask questions and connect with our guests. In addition to guest Q&As, we have weekly interactive events and conversations on topics that rest at the intersection of wellness and filmmaking. This past month, we've had weekly discussions about losing ourselves to our work, celebrating the joy of filmmaking, and our monthly wellness accountability calls. All in all, it's just such a lovely group of filmmakers, so if any of this resonates, check us out via the free trial link at wearevariable.com. That's it for now. I'm going to do a musicless transition into our conversation with Diego in just a couple seconds. I hope you enjoy. For those of you that don't know Diego, he's a commercial and music video director based in Los Angeles. And how many years have you been in LA now, Diego?
Since 2015, so 8 years.
Diego is now represented by Love Song. And previously you switched from, was it Reset Content?
Reset, yeah.
Got it. And that's in the US. And then there's other representations throughout the world as well. Diego's directed projects for Apple, Ford, Facebook, Reebok, and Lincoln Motors, to name a few. And for those of you that just hopped on, we were just chatting about how Diego and I met about, I don't know, how many years ago was that? Like 12 years now or something?
25 years ago.
25 years ago? Something like that. I don't know.
We met in 2014. I can guarantee that. Yeah. So that was, what, 9 years?
We loosely collaborated on a couple things, I think, in the time in New York City. Nothing ever really came to fruition. I think it was some, like, treatment stuff at the time. But when we initially connected, I could just tell you were an awesome dude. So I was, it's been cool to see you growing over the years. So,
likewise, man. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So the topic we're going to dive into today is when to push and when to let go. And it's kind of a dualistic theme because it applies very much to work, which we'll get into some specific examples throughout Diego's career, but it also applies to life, whether that's in relationships, generally in relationships, knowing when to assert your opinions and when to release and so forth. So I kind of broke this conversation down to a few components. There's vision that you feel convicted to see through the end, which you need to have in order to push or let go. And then there's the persistence element of it. And then there is the side of it of being a good collaborator, because if you're just persisting with your own opinion for the entire time, nobody's probably going to want to collaborate with you. So I'm sure there's a lot more elements to this conversation that we could go into, but that's sort of where I started. I figure we'll start on the persistence side of things. And my first question for you, Diego, would be, what was your earliest memory of being a persistent person?
There was a time in my life where, like, a certain age, my parents would make us start working since we were like 11 or 12. We're just coming with them to all the work they would do. And they really had this, like, very extreme work ethic. So nothing ever came for granted, right? You kind of have to work for things, or you have to be there. Like, we would spend Christmas at their store, like, just working because that's their life and we had to be a part of it. Of course, it wasn't all of it. But I would say one funny story is I really wanted a South Park video game back then. And they said, well, if you want it, like, here's a deal that you paint the whole walls around the house. Guatemala, we grew up in Guatemala, up in the mountains, and, you know, people have a little bit more space. So when I say the wall around the house, it wasn't like a backyard. It was like big, you know. Yeah, it was quite, it took me 3 weeks every single day painting that wall. I was probably like, I don't know, pretty 12 years old. I don't know. But it was like, that's the kind of story where like, when I really wanted something, you would have to work hard for it. And then I finally got my video game. And I think like a week later, my brother lent it to a friend who moved to the States, and I never saw that video game ever again. So it's kind of like a story of like, you work hard for things and then you feel the pain of like, oh, I lost it, because like, that's when you value the work, right? You like to have it taken away after I had done all that work. And I know it's a simple little example. It's not a big deal for people, but it's just one story of like, anything you really want, if you really want it, you're going to have to work hard for it. And that's one thing I can think of right now. But man, I mean, I can go back to also how I started in film. I did maybe 3-4 years of shooting stuff for free for people, which is why I brought up my friend Lert, who's here. He's doing that right now. And one of the things I gave him as an advice was just go shoot for people. Like, even if they're not paying you, just offer up yourself, because you're going to grow through that experience. And my brother was very business minded, would always say, man, like, you're really good at this. Why do you keep doing it for free? And I said, I just never want to do this for money. I want to do it because it's out of love. So I had a career. I was working also as an agency creative for 7 years. In a way, it was related, but the film side is not something anyone was teaching me. I was doing it on my own. Every weekend, shooting something, finding an excuse to shoot whatever I could. Every travel, every like opportunity, I hung out with something, like always filming, putting it out online. A lot of that stuff at some point just went private. You can't see it. But when I was starting, all of that was available, and I was not expecting anyone to even care for it. I just wanted to share it, put it out there to my favorite five people who cared about me. There was no expectations for it. It was out of love, and I just had a passion for it. But it took 3-4 years of doing that consistently, just hearing these voices saying, you're kind of wasting your time because you have talent. You could be making money out of this. And I just said, I just don't ever want to make it about the money. Like, even when I got opportunities and they said, how much do you want to get paid for it? I would usually just not even charge. And then it just translated into, you know, kind of how it all started, with a couple of Vimeo staff picks that came unexpectedly from my honeymoon video with my wife when we got married. It didn't come from a short film, from a spec commercial or something that was trying to be big. It was just us on a traveling, having fun. That video exploded in a way. And that's kind of how it started rolling, within not making any money to suddenly being offered commercial directing rates, to the point where it's like, oh my God, now I'm getting paid, what, 15, you know, big numbers, right? And I said, that's how, when you're trusted with a little bit, you know, and you put your whole heart into it, you're going to see it multiply. You got to do it for the right reasons, right? You're not doing it. I was never doing it to become a director, to get representation. I was just doing it out of love. And I think to this point today, I still want to do it for that reason. And I'm kind of balancing that right now, because of course you get to some bigger projects, but I'm still finding any opportunity I can. It is harder these days. You become more ambitious. You want VFX. You want all these huge things. But it's not as easy to just grab a camera and go shoot out there. But I'm still doing it with friends. And it's the most rewarding stuff when we just go out there and shoot something for no money. It's sometimes more rewarding than when you go and do it for these huge corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Persistence, in the sense that you just got to go out there and just keep getting it done. Keep pushing it little by little. It's like a little grain of salt every day you add in there. It's going to translate to something bigger. It's not just going to happen out of nowhere. So at least that's my story. Not everyone has a different path, a different story, but that's how it started for me.
In regards to persistence as it relates to working with agencies and clients, because obviously, you know, a lot of them have their different needs and things that may seem to get in the way of your own pure vision. How have you managed to stay just creative and persevere through all of those
I don't want to call them obstacles, but just realities, right?
I would say there's two sides to the question, right? Because there's the pitching side,
yeah,
which is one story, and then there's once you get it, and then once you're doing it, I think that's a separate story. Maybe I can talk to the first part. And this is always a question, like, I found myself having this discussion on my last project where I lost it terribly. No, they said it was the best treatment, but I still lost it. This happens to me all the time. It wasn't crazy good creative. It was fairly simple, but I tend to go all out every single time. I don't know why. I always say, like, if I'm doing something, I want to believe in it. Sometimes there's conversations within the company or the production company and the reps and everyone, and like, okay, this is not the most creative. Let's not go all out. Let's keep it simple. But I'm guilty of always wanting to transform it. So I take a small script and I go crazy, and that can be a good thing and that can be a terrible thing, because it can translate to losing a lot of projects. But for me, I'm like, I can't help it. I just want to go all out. And it's not out of like wanting to look better. I just care for it. So when I see something, I'm like, I think this could be beautiful if we go this way. And then out of nowhere, it becomes something much more special. And I do it for every single project. And I think it's important to talk about this, because it also becomes extremely heartbreaking when you lose, right? Because if you just did the simplest thing you could do and kept it easy, you know, you always get like a week for treatments. I'm learning, you know, I ask directors, there's some really smart directors who put like 5 hours into a treatment, and that's it. I spend like all 5 days, right? I go crazy with it, put as much detail into every image, every color, everything. Because that's how I've always been. And the good side of it is when you do win it, it's incredible, right? Because you know you've built something exciting. Everyone feels the same excitement, and you're going to go and you're going to make that thing come true. But there's also going to be the multiple occasions where you're just going to lose it. And it's going to be hard, but that's what it is. You know, you got to keep it going.
How do you deal with that heartbreak of spending weeks on a pitch and then losing it?
Yeah. I always say I need like therapy after every shoot. I think I've learned to lose as well. And I would say like my time as a creative helped with that. I did 7 years, like I mentioned, at agencies. One of the things you do learn through that process is you're coming up with ideas almost daily, and writing scripts and hearing no almost daily, having someone just completely shatter and kill every single thing you want to do. And at some point you start gaining that backbone, right? Like, it's fine. Like, okay, I've lost 100 times. It's not going to make me cry. It's going to hurt. Like, I won't. There's some projects where like it's dream projects and you lose them and you know it was good and you heard it was good. They still tell you like, this was amazing, but you know, for some reason you lost it. Yeah, I've tried to not linger too much in that pain. Just like, okay, try to move on. It's going to hurt. I can't hide it. It will take sometimes like a couple of weeks where you're just like, man, that's painful. But try to keep yourself moving on to the next thing and not linger in it, because if you just let that put you down, I mean, that's the nature of the business, right? You're just going to be losing constantly. And like I said, it just makes you feel really good when you do win it and you know you put your heart into it and it's your vision. And now you try to bring that to life.
Was there ever a point where you just felt really defeated and even considered walking away from film completely?
To be honest with you, I've never considered that at all. Like, it's never crossed my mind, like, oh, I don't want to keep doing this. And this week alone has been interesting. I've heard a couple friends who just completely left the industry. I've also seen a couple posts of people just, there's quite a bit of a struggle right now. I think it might be just there's not a lot of jobs passing, moving around this year and the last year. We can start to feel it. We can see that it's becoming harder. Maybe it'll pick up again next year. Just reading like the struggle and just seeing people like are hurting right now and having a hard time, I would say like it's in a way it's industry wide, right? So that helps, knowing that it's not just you. It's in general, it's different right now. It's not booming like it was a couple of years ago. And you just got to keep going through that. But I would say I would just encourage like persistency, as you're asking about, is you got to keep pushing. And if it's not working out in certain ways, like I just have this mindset of reinventing yourself consistently. I've been doing that lately. Like, I want to tap into fashion or BFX. So, like, no one's giving me those opportunities. So I'm just going to do it myself. You know, I've been doing that recently by just putting it into personal projects and start showing the world what you can do. There might not be opportunities in this side to just start finding your own. And like I said, making short films and doing all that work at a certain quality is not easy, right? It's going to take a lot of work, a lot of favors. This year has been fun for me. It's been a slower year. Yeah, I'll be just be honest. It's been a slower year than I'm used to. And one of the things I've always wanted to do is music. Like, I come from a music background. I'm doing composing a soundtrack for my friend's documentary. So it's like finding new ways, you know, like if it's not fully working out here, keep that dream, keep pushing it, but find different things where you can keep growing. So like, that's been the most exciting thing for me a long time. It's like, I'm dedicating all this time to creating a soundtrack. Exploring new ways. It's still related to the film world. It's still like helping me grow and find new avenues of expanding what I can do, but it's just trying to constantly grow, try to constantly learn something new. If you see all these obstacles, just like find other ways and just don't give up. You know, like if you really have heart for it and passion for it, yeah, it's going to come with a lot of hardship and obstacles, but just got to keep going.
Diego, are there any specific habits or routines that you would say keep you grounded and just focused on growth mindset?
I'm not the best with habits. You know, I kind of go with the flow all the time, but I would say I'm constantly working, constantly creating something. I don't know, even this year, like, you know, even if it's not the best year, I'm always creating something, always editing footage, always shooting something. It might not be seen. I might not share it with the world or put it out there, but it's just this consistency I think is important. Like, almost daily, I'm editing something, I'm shooting something, I'm always moving, always grabbing that camera. Like, there's just this consistency and this obsession with always moving forward when there's obstacles or like even if the work's not kicking in, like just got to keep improving new ways to expand. Honestly, like the AI stuff, I don't want to get into it too much. But like you see a lot of conversation happening with that right now. Like I've been very strong, like learning how that works. If that's going to be part of our industry and it's going to use, like you got to be at the top of it and fully understand it. So I'm like always creating like videos with AI right now, using the images, like learning how to put that into my pitches, like just constantly evolve, constantly grow with what's happening out there is important.
Were you always this way? Just always learning your way through trials and using that as sort of your way to thrive and persevere? Because that's how it's coming across to me, at least.
I would say so. I grew up in, I always make this several skateboarding metaphors because I grew up in a place where I'm going to have a skateboard metaphor. We weren't great skaters, even though we were skating all the time. Why weren't we not as good is because we had no one else to show us. Like you would go and just like, while comparing it to the States, right? You have these kids jumping off massive rails and staircases. Like if you were next to them, you would probably go like, I can do that. But I grew up in a place where there just wasn't enough movement in all these industries. Like skaters were like doing little staircases and like, there's something good in seeing someone else doing it that drives you to go like, I can do this as well. Mm-hmm. So because I didn't have that, same goes with filmmaking, same goes with like so many things, music. You just weren't surrounded with a creative community or people showing you how it's done to understand that I can do this. So it had to be on your own. You know, you had to just pick up things and go obsessive with it until you could figure it out. So I think since then I've continued with that mindset of just learning, constantly growing. And I like doing it on my own because it's like the best way of figuring things out, you know?
Has there ever been a point where you reached a limit of where just pushed yourself too hard and had to take a pause for a while? Or have you been able to just stay consistently growing with everything that you've been working on?
I haven't really taken a break, but I'll say like there are occasions when you do need a little time away. I mean, it happens consistently on the bigger these productions get, I feel like the more heartbreak you end up coming out with, because you spend more time with it, you know, like it's no longer a month long thing. I've done projects where I spent 4 months nonstop on a commercial, you know, it's like you're spending all this like movie timelines on these things. And it doesn't always go your way. It doesn't always turn out into what you want. And it can be heartbreaking in the sense that you go all the way with it. You have dreams, like you really want to make this as beautiful as possible. It doesn't always fully work out. And I've had occasions where like, man, I just need a month off, because you put everything into it. And then you got to find something else to sort of re-energize you, to get you through it. Also just find the balance that filmmaking and what we do is not, can't see it as the only thing in life that is worth pursuing, right? There's got to be so many other things. You got to find other things that to pursue and go after that fill your heart, right? Your heart's not going to be filled just with this one thing alone. That also, we want to get into our faith and different things in our lives where we have to find something that means something to you beyond this thing we do, which is filmmaking. And that helps me through the process. You know, there's ups and downs, but you just got to find the way forward and find these breaks to just understand there's meaning in life and other things beyond this that can help you grow and come back to it with the same passion you had before.
You said something a few minutes ago that I think transitions into just this topic of vision, which is, you mentioned, you know, you want to do projects that you believe in. What makes you believe in any given project?
It's an interesting question, because in commercials, you see all kinds of things, right? You can't just choose and pick the perfect things that you have to go after. There's from sports to emotional stuff to exciting stuff. You know, there's just a whole range, which is honestly why it's cool, is you get to explore all kinds of different avenues, different kinds of projects. Every single thing is a new thing to get excited for. But I tend to like push for things and projects that for me, and this goes to just my life mission in general, it's like anything that celebrates, I'll put it this way, like celebrates the good in humanity in some way. Any story that makes you feel something, that has a side of hope. Even I just did a video game, that Final Fantasy, and that had the same theme in it. You have a character going through struggles, personal darkness, and having to overcome that to find hope at the end. You know, that's like a metaphor for life, right? You have to face this giant beast in the end, and it's like, yeah, it's a crazy video game world, but it had a when I was like working on it, seeing that project and thinking about it, I was like, this has emotion within it, and it has hope. I hope that you can feel it through my work. It's this feeling that that we're all human, that we're all going through struggles and different things, but how do we show the beauty in humanity, the goodness in all of it, and bring hope through that, you know? That for me is more important. That's what gets me excited about work. Any project I do, it's not necessarily the cinematography. It's not all the eye candy. It's like, am I going to leave the viewer and myself like with something that makes me feel something, you know, whether it makes you smile, makes you happy, gets you excited, whatever it is. But I think that for me is the drive. You know, if I read a script and I get excited for it in the sense of emotions or what it's going to bring, I think that's the most important thing, because then you're pursuing something that is meaningful. You're not just going out there to capture frames, like how people hashtag frames kind of thing. I really don't care about that. For me, it's about mood, emotion, feelings, and just bringing hope as much as I can. And now I can say that, of course, it's not always going to be real. When you're doing commercials, you can't always get away with everything you're doing. But sometimes when you can, that's my dream. So if I can make you smile at the end of something and make you feel something, that's what's worth it.
I'd say that comes clear. I think whenever I think about your work, I always tend to think about celebrating life. And it's interesting how that even comes through, even in the Final Fantasy spot, even though it's darker, you know, it's about like persevering against whatever evils there are in the world, or however you told that story. It's that theme is always there. Was there a specific project or even moment in your life where the vision for the type of work that you want to make came through?
or was that always clear to you?
And it comes to me in editing, and I've felt it many times before, and I've said, like, that's when I nailed it, when I feel proud of the work, is when I could spend 2 weeks editing something, not feel a thing about it. And then it comes to a point where I feel it, I watch it, and I'm literally, like, in tears. I'm like, okay, that's it. It can take forever, you know. It could be like I changed the music or something changed in it. But when I get to that point where I feel emotional watching it, that's it for me. You know, if I don't feel anything watching it, then it's not working. That for me is a sign. And when I could feel it in several projects, when I was like, man, I would hope that if I can feel that emotion, that can translate to other viewers. And I've seen it happening. Work that just kind of made me tear up, and I know it's like, I don't know why, that's what I'm pushing for. And even I'm doing projects now that are like sci-fi and different elements, but it always goes back to the same thing. If I can feel emotion, I can feel like if I get teary-eyed watching it at the end, I'm hoping that it's going to do the same effect, and that means it's successful for me. So going back to, once again, like, the visuals, all that stuff is cool. It can look beautiful, all that stuff, but if there's no soul in it, if there's no spark that makes you move, like, I think it's not worth something for me. The work has to move the viewer. You know, I haven't done movies, but that's for me the vision as well. Like, if I'm ever going to tap into that world, which is, that's the dream, it's like, I want to create work that's going to move you. And that's the sign of good work versus not good work for me.
What does that look like in the development? Because I understand in post-production getting those sorts of chills, I very almost exact same process for myself. Like, I know something is going to resonate if I'm getting chills or if emotional when I'm editing it. But what about in the development when you're just conceptualizing your vision? What does that look like for you, and how do you know when you're onto something?
I would say it's a similar process. It's not the same as you're not watching or reacting to it, but it's similar. I do write to music a lot. I, in a way, create a whole playlist as I'm writing. So as I'm reading the scripts, like, I have the music that it's in, that I want to have to do this. And it's a similar process. Like, if on paper you can feel something, then it's going to translate to the final project and the final screen. But it's similar. I would say it's always the exact same process. Keep writing, keep reading, like, until you start feeling something. The music helps me a lot to set the tone and set the mood, but it's always the same process. And now I'm specifically talking about the projects where I know it's about emotion and I want to put, you know, they're not always, you're doing a car commercial about cars, like, you can't push for emotion there, right? You just got to do whatever you can to make it beautiful and create something. But even within those, you can always try to push for finding the humanity and the beauty in it, beyond just the visuals. But that's what I do with scripts. It's the same process.
Are there any sort of tips or suggestions just on the topic of vision and finding your own vision or finding your own voice? Because obviously you need to have one, and you need to have a strong one when you start working on paid projects and bigger agency projects. I would say the bigger the project is, the more concise your vision would have to be, right? So when we're just getting started and we're starting to fight these battles with agencies and clients with our own vision, yeah, maybe if you have any tips or suggestions for folks to kind of bolster or develop their own vision to give them better chance at sort of seeing it through the finishing line.
Yeah, man, I would say, like, how you, once you get to that point where you're presenting to, you know, I've been in these situations where you look around, there's a table with 30 people and it's kind of nerve-wracking. I just got to be myself. I got to share my vision, and I got to talk about it emotionally. If they can feel that, I've heard comments of, you know, clients going like, man, just from you talking, we feel the emotion. We haven't even dived into the scripts and anything, but just really explaining why you care about the project, mm-hmm. why you're into it, and why you want to translate those emotions. Like, that just has so much power. Like, going back to this recent Final Fantasy project, here I am with a bunch of clients who are the game creators, and for 2 hours, we're just talking about the emotions of the character, which I was like, this is the coolest client call ever. No one's complaining about anything. We're just talking about what is the character feeling, and
by opening up myself as we start the conversation, you're in a way opening up that emotion in the conversation. People are getting excited because they're realizing, oh, it's not about swords, it's not about capes and fire and beasts. Like, it's about, whoa, like, what am I feeling through this journey, and what is the character trying to say? So I think I've felt this through the process, no matter what client, what project it is. Like, if you can always be approach it with as much love as possible, why you're into it, it's better, you know? Because if you just talk about every other detail, and of course, there's going to be a lot of technical details, but I kind of like to keep that out and just focus on the motion. And that's how I push my vision, you know?
It's funny how different our work is, Diego, in a lot of ways, but the process is very similar from when I was directing ads, as far as just this idea of, like, why does this matter? You know, why does this have to exist? What does it stand for? Like, these types of questions, and having it have to relate on such a personal level to where it's like your own mission to see it through. And I felt like that's all I could ever really defend, was like my own connection or my own conviction to the project. And I'm wondering for you, like, are there any examples of your career where you felt so convicted to do something your way and you just couldn't sell it through, and what that was like for you?
I would say, man, I can't think of a specific example, but I would say it comes almost on every single thing you do. It gets harder and harder over time. And like I said, like, when you put your everything into it and you're pushing as hard as you can. But I think this is a much larger question, but the interesting part for me is I tend to do this process with kindness. You know, like, it's never about my vision. We're here for me. I'm a director. Like, what, you know, I like to really think of the team, the agency, everyone. Like, we're all here for the same reason, right? We're all pushing for the same, like, to make a great piece of work. And so I do approach it with kindness, and it is a little disappointing when you try to be as open and friendly about it and push for things, and then you feel resistance. It's this constant, like, going back to persistency, like, it's this process of just try to get away with as much as you can, and doing it in the most collaborative way possible, for me, is important. Sometimes you manage to get away by just being kind about, you know, not reacting in a bad way, not getting angry about it, not pushing back, but just going, like, you know, like I said before, if you open up about the emotions of the project and the reasons why, sometimes you can sell it through easily, or in an easier way, because there's no way you can fight that. You know, there's no way you can fight if you have a proper reason for doing things. It's not just like, just because visually I want this. Like, no, it's actually, it means something in the story. I'm blanking a little bit, but it's just like, it's like this endless back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather always push the most and just go as far as I can. And just, if I can get close to what my vision is, you're not always going to get it all the way, but fight as much as you can and get as close to it as possible.
Would you say, like, being a kind collaborator with a vision is more challenging than just being forthright and persistent and kind of cold?
It's a balance. I think I've been learning that I probably need more of the other side. Not cold, but I'm learning something. I'm always super approachable in this process. I keep hearing comments like, man, like, you're so available to us. Like, this comes from the production side. Say I just go to a different country and you have 3 weeks to prep. I tend to be fully available as much as I can. I'm there, like, every morning, every night, like, working hard. Every team, every department knows exactly what they're working on, what we're doing. There's, like, this strong push for vision. But also I've realized, like, by being constantly available and constantly part of the team, it doesn't always translate to respect. It's a weird thing, but I'm learning to, like, man, sometimes not being there is important. Sometimes having a little separation to understand that in the end, what I want and what I need in my vision is what we're pushing for. Because when you're open to everyone, suddenly it's like, oh yeah, it's fine to hear everyone's opinions, which is cool and it's important, but at some point it's your vision that you're pushing for. That balance is really important, and I'm learning. Sometimes it works out. I've had occasions where it truly is amazing when you have the whole team feeling like one, we're all pushing for the same vision. But at some point, you also have to show, like, yeah, what you need is what we're doing. It's not a question. So it's a balance. And I think that comes with experience. Because I'm always learning. I'm like, man, I do see some directors who've been doing this for 20-something years. And it's always like they're never on set. You know, of course, they're on set when they're shooting, but there's like this mystery to them. And what they ask for is happening. Everything moves, you know, like it's an important thing. I think we are in a current landscape where you can't just be distant. You have to be pressing. You have to be inspiring the team the whole time. But it's a balance. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like the kindness is a good thing, but you also need to have a little bit of both sides, or it's not always going to work out.
What do you think that looks like for you moving forward in your ideal circumstances?
I think you get to a point where you know your skills and you know your talents and what you can achieve. And the reason people are hiring you is because they should trust what you do, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's important to let them know that and don't be afraid to even say it. You hire me for a reason, right? Now you have to trust what I do, because there is this, I feel like now we're, and maybe it's always been like this, but man, some of the recent, like 2 years ago, like projects I've been doing, you're one against 30. You know, it's this like crazy battle. Like, why is there a Zoom with 20 people, everyone like raising their hands, throwing comments? Like there's a balance. There's a point where you just have to say, we're doing this way, and you have to trust me. And I'm learning that process, you know, to get better at that every single time, because you have a vision. Sometimes people just ask questions and it's not the right time for asking questions. Like we're here, we got to move, we got to do this. So it's learning when to push and when to let go, right? There's times where you just have to push with your vision. You can't back out. And there's times where you got to be open, but it doesn't always work in a set situation when you have to move. There's all kinds of things happening. You just have to go, you have to move.
Yeah, I think like you said, it's a lot of experience too, and like really feeling your way through so many scenarios of pushing and pulling to where you're kind of attuned to other people's senses and the information and the agenda. It's like all the things that really come through experience, I think. Are there any examples from your recent memory where you've had to push for something when you felt like everybody on the entire team was against you? And if so, what was that like for you?
I keep going back to the recent project just because it's fresh, but we did a Final Fantasy in Croatia. There's one location that you see in the film. We went to a rock quarry. I mean, that shoot was crazy. Every location was difficult. Some of the locations we had to walk like 45 minutes on foot, carrying gear, like a little army up this mountain just to get for one shot, one or two shots. But there was one, you know, one specific place, and you know, we got to the top of this rock quarry, huge walk. We're standing there, and look, this is like 3 days before the shoot. We've discussed this location; it's been approved. Everything's moving forward. The moment we get there, we're all standing there, and everyone starts questioning, "Why are we here? This looks incredibly complicated." You know, just every voice, man. I'm talking about, like, you know, tech scouts, you can have 50 people on a tech scout, but like every single voice was concerned. And look, it was for the right reasons. It's not an easy location. But I started seeing things falling out of control, right? I'm like, I'm the director here, but there's like 30 voices just going like, this is crazy. Like, why are we even considering this? Like, this makes no sense. Like, there's no way we can get the gear up here. Just everyone going. And what do you do in that moment, right? I just looked around. Agency, client, everyone's there looking at this happening, and you can just back out and just go like, okay, we're not doing it. And I just had to stop and just take a few of the team up, like higher up. And I said, I need to, like, let's stop. Let's not do this out in the open. And because it's not about everyone, you know, we're here for a reason. We flew all the way to Croatia for a reason. And, you know, the backup solution was you shoot in a parking lot or somewhere at the bottom, not on this epic grand scale location. So I just took some of the team members. We went up and we stood even higher and looked down. I don't know what changed, but I just said, guys, like, we're here for, you know, we came all the way here and we need, like, I want this scale. I need this scale. I want it to feel real, not like CG. Not like, if you do it in a parking lot, suddenly you're relying on green screens, all these other things. And just within seconds, like, I could just see everyone looking around and finally understanding. why we were there. Like, I don't know what clicked on them, but I kept the persistency. I didn't back out, you know? And then suddenly within minutes, I'm like, everyone's like an army moving around, like discussing how we're going to make it happen, how we're going to get the trucks up there. But it happened, you know, we made it work. And I think that's one of those situations where you can just back out, like, okay, everyone's worried about this, it's too difficult. And you go like, okay, it's not doable. Or do you push them? But I needed to take control of that moment, take them up, have a side conversation. And then within minutes, like, I could just see the inspiration because they saw the shot, they saw where we were. For a moment, it felt like no one was seeing it. Or like, do you guys not notice like how epic this was? But it was the look, there's experienced people you bring on shoots that are more experienced than you. And when you hear them with concern, you're like, there's a reason, right? It's not, you know, they have a reason why they don't want to do this. But then we made it happen and you see it in the film and it's incredible. Like, you're up in this quarry, you see this huge distance, you see all these kids singing a choir. And it wasn't easy. I had to give up another scene so we could make this happen. But I think you have to push for that vision. And it takes a little leadership there and just continuing to push. Because there's a reason why there's a reason why you went there. And then it translates incredibly when you see the final film.
How do you know, for example, when something is definitely a no, like a capital N-O, you can't push for it?
Another example, we had a piñata character in that film that I asked if we could pack this piñata with fireworks. There's a guy that's running around literally on fire with all these fireworks coming out of it. It's part of this scene. It was amazing. And the guy caught fire. You know, like, it's one of these things where, like, there's times where the reason we did it is because I pushed for it. I thought it was amazing. I'm like, I want to have these kids running around this plaza. And there's this guy dressed as the villain made of sticks and like paper mache, and it's on fire and there's fireworks coming out of it. And it looked seriously amazing. I think we did 3-4 takes. And then out of nowhere, we would just hear like everyone comes back like, he caught fire. The fireman, like, we're like setting this guy off. And the local team, you know, this was in Croatia, they're like, you want to go for another take? And the AD, our first AD, is like, no way. Like, there's no, you know, that's an occasion where there's limits of what you can push for. Setting someone on fire, you know, getting in, even if it's a stunt actor and the whole deal, like, there's points where it's just like, you back out, right? There's no way I can fight this. I've seen a lot of those where you propose ideas and then you're not the tech scout and you hear no, like, you can keep fighting for it, but there's limits of what you can do or you can't do. That no immediately you have to respect. So I would say safety is one thing, right? Anything that puts people in harm's way, like, you just back out of that. There's limits of what you can ask for.
Maybe last question before we open up to Q&As is any general tips about being a good collaborator, whether that's with agency or crew, just the collaborative spirit in general, like maybe some things that you've learned or tips in general would be awesome to hear.
I would say collaboration, the most important thing for me is to listen, to hear everyone's point of view. Like, you know, as a director, you will surround yourself as much as you can. And that's when you do the best work, is you're surrounding yourself with people that are potentially better, more experienced than you, because it helps you elevate your own work and you can learn through them. Not every experience you're working with people that are better. Sometimes you work with people that are more in your same sort of kind of same time and vision. They're like around the same age. There's something that's fun, but I'd like to surround myself as much as possible with incredible teams that can help me become better. And I really like to have a very strong vision and bring, like, I give them as much as I can, like, this is what we're doing, empower them with as much information, detail, ideas as you can, and then kind of let them, like, because it is important to value the teams that you have and let everyone bring their own contribution to, because that's, you know, I think as a director sometimes you can forget. Mm-hmm. You just, this is what you want, let's make it happen. But you have incredible talent around you, and it's very important to just kind of give them a chance to, like, say, this is what I want, how would you do it? Sometimes they'll do it just like the way you want it, but man, sometimes they'll elevate it to a whole other world. But it's your job to inspire them first and then let's see where they take it. So I like sort of give them a start. I don't like to start with nothing. To just go like, okay, you're incredibly talented. Show me what you got. It's about like, here's where I want it. But don't go all the way to a finished idea. Just give them like, this is beautiful. This is incredible. This is inspiring. Where would you take this? And then you start like seeing it. But then there's also times where like you have to, if something's going off what your vision is making sure you're still aligning it in the right path. I think that's important. In it goes back to the beginning. Like if you go with very, very figured out vision of what you want in your head, it's going to stay in paths. Because otherwise it can go all over. You know? And it's about keeping one single vision through the process and just inviting everyone else to bring as much as they can to it.
Yeah, I know I struggled a lot with that when I was directing, just letting go and trusting my collaborators. And it's just such a stressful way to work. Like looking back on it, I was always sort of stressed out and high strung because I was a control freak. Like I hadn't developed the capabilities to trust people yet. I didn't really even give anybody the opportunity to. And now that I'm DPing more, I'm finding it such a more relaxed process to just trust the director and trust the gaffers and the key grips and all these people. And just a much more relaxing, much easier for me to let go. But as a director with the one, you know, who has to have the vision for the project, I felt like I had to like protect that baby with my life, and I would not let it go, and ruined a lot of relationships. Didn't have a ton of repeat work. I don't know if this is exactly why, but I was definitely very high strung and controlling. And, you know, I like to think maybe I'll revisit directing commercials one day with a new attitude, but maybe not. But the fact that you are able to let go and trust your collaborators, I've heard that from a lot of other filmmakers working at a high level. I feel like that just makes it so much more enjoyable.
Look, it's not always easy. I would say that also comes with picking the right team.
Right.
Where it, like if you fully trust this team, then it's so much easier because you know they're going to give you their best no matter what, and you can allow them to like create and bring more to it. There's going to be occasions when you might have someone on your crew that you just don't see eye to eye with, and that's when I said sometimes you do have to push it back. You can't just let go. But it's interesting. I think that comes with experience too, is trying to surround yourself with the right team. It's less time wasted. It's like, you know, within seconds, like what you both want and where they can take it. And that's been for me even more important in the collaboration part, is like making sure I have the right team with me and that I can trust them. I usually bring people that I usually come with ideas, all which is so valuable for me. From day one, they show up, here's a deck with like mood boards and ideas. And like, I think that's great, even though I know exactly what I want and I'm doing the same, but it just adds to it. That passion they bring is so important.
All right. And that's a wrap on episode 12. A massive thanks to Diego for sharing so many valuable insights into his creative process. You can check out his work at thisisdiego.net. If you're interested in tuning into the community conversation that unfolded after Diego and I's conversation, you can join the community at members@wearevariable.com. Tune in next month for episode 13 with executive producer and life and career coach Lisa Shires on the topic of leaning into the discomfort of change. Cheers for now, and thanks for taking the time to tune in.